NPR.
Today, the financial world is feeling a little unsettled. That's because the United States' stellar creditworthiness is being questioned by one of the three main ratings agencies. So when banks or investors weigh up whether or not they want to buy government's debt, they turn to these rating agencies, which essentially give a credit score to governments around the world. And late on Tuesday afternoon, Fitch unleashed a financial earthquake. It downgraded American government debt from AAA to AA+. Now, that is still very low default risk, and these ratings arguably matter less for a huge, widely traded market as the one for US Treasuries. But because US government debt, US Treasuries, are held all around the world, the implications could be worrying. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods. Today on the show, the US credit rating downgrade. What's behind it? What it could mean for the economy? And why now?
This message comes from NPR sponsor E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. Take control of your financial future with E-Trade. No matter what kind of investor you are, their tools and resources can help you be ready for what's next. Now, when you open an account, you can get up to $1,000 with a qualifying deposit. Terms apply. Learn more at etrade.com/NPR. Investing involves risks. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC. Member SIPC. E-Trade is a business of Morgan Stanley.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Certified Financial Planners. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, Certified Financial Planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Our expert to guide us through the US credit rating downgrade is Carola Binder. Carola is an associate professor of economics at Haverford College. And to be honest, the big credit rating downgrade was only the second biggest news in her household.
Yeah, I'm good. I actually just had a baby 2 days ago on Milton Friedman's birthday. So it's an exciting time over here.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. But Carola, ever the macroeconomist, had been following all the drama from her hospital bed.
I'm feeling a little bit surprised about the timing of the downgrade. It seems like lately we've been getting mostly good economic news coming in, especially about inflation falling, the labor market still staying strong. And it seems like there's more and more of a chance that we're going to be able to get inflation back to target without a recession, like people were worried about, myself included, even a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I mean, inflation's down to around 3%. Economic growth just came out, you know, that's running at around 2.5%. I don't know, like the clouds were parting and then suddenly this rainstorm of a ratings downgrade comes in.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not going to be that big of a rainstorm. It sounds bad, but the downgrade was from AAA to AA+, which doesn't mean that a U.S. government debt default is imminent. It just means they think the possibility is basically moved from 0% to some very, very, very small percent.
What reasons did Fitch give for going from AAA to AA+?
So when Fitch, put out a report about this downgrade, a big one was just government debt is becoming increasingly a burden. Just to put it in a little bit of perspective, in the first quarter of 2023, total public debt as a percent of GDP was 119%. And that's been falling a little bit, but it was about 106% before the pandemic. So government debt to GDP is, you know, still relatively high.
A lot of people have different opinions over how worrying the U.S. government debt is. I mean, defenders might point to France's debt. That's a little over 100%, similar to the U.S.'s. or even Japan's, which is about 240%. But it sounds like Fitch does see this as quite a concern.
They see it as a concern, yes, because I think it's sort of hard to fathom how it's going to get much lower, given how just partisan the budget process is in the United States.
Yeah, and that brings us to reason number two, which is around governance.
Right. They're worried about governance issues in the United States, the really intense partisanship, the difficulty of making bipartisan agreements, the way that the debt limit itself has been so politicized and is kind of used as like a political football, which adds a lot of uncertainty. And when we have all these standoffs and these governance issues, that chance becomes something more than zero, even if it's still very small.
What other reasons do they give?
Another reason would be the rising interest rates. So because of the high inflation we've had over the last couple of years, the Fed has been doing this really aggressive tightening. The federal funds rate was raised from basically 0% to around 5.5%, which of course make the government's debt burden greater. They have more interest to pay on their debt. The fourth reason is their prediction of a recession that could still occur. And luckily, we haven't seen that materialize yet. And the more that inflation keeps falling without signs of like labor market slowing down, the more I think we're like more nearly in the clear that we not only will have a soft landing, but well, a very soft landing in the sense of like, we don't need a big recession or maybe even any recession to get inflation back down to target. But, you know, these things are really hard to predict and we're not totally in the clear yet. And interest rates are so high that I think they're still working in this possibility, again, even if it's small, that we could have a recession. And a recession, you know, is never good for the government's debt. They get less tax revenue, more spending. So that's going to increase debt to GDP.
Some economists have called this a bizarre decision. Why are they saying that? And do you agree?
I think they're calling it a bizarre decision because the timing seems bizarre in the sense that we don't have any new information at the moment that's like really, clearly pointing to the need for a downgrade. There was no big change for the worse since the last time they gave the U.S. a AAA rating. So the question is kind of like, why now? We've been having these debt limit standoffs for years. And actually, one of the other rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, downgraded the U.S. from AAA to AA+ back in 2011 after a different debt limit standoff and has kept it at AA+ ever since then. You know, it's like, why didn't Fitch's downgrade after one of the other debt limit standoffs, or maybe when inflation was really rising a couple of years ago, why are they doing it now when things look like they're getting better? The big thing is that these rating agencies aren't really focusing on these short run movements in macroeconomic statistics that come out every month or every quarter. And they're really thinking about the very, very long term. So I think that's how we reconcile this kind of surprising news about the Fitch downgrade at the same time that we're getting good macroeconomic news coming in. Mm. And then, within the administration, within any administration, right, if your sovereign debt gets downgraded, your insiders in the administration are going to oppose it. And now we have Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen disagreeing vocally with this downgrading decision right now. If this downgrade makes it more costly for the U.S. to finance their debt, then that's obviously not good for the administration.
No, it's not good news at all. And I'm wondering about the wider implications. I mean, let's say for somebody's 401k, what might they expect?
One thing is to look at what happened in 2011. And back then, the stock market declined quite a lot with the downgrade that big, and the impact on the Treasury market hasn't either. I think this is because this move doesn't really reflect like any new bad information. So to the extent that markets realize that, you know, they're not going to suddenly think that Treasury's got a lot more risky. I mean, hopefully this doesn't have too big of an effect on things like people's 401ks, but I think it is really hard to predict.
So overall, what I'm hearing is that this is certainly a blow to U.S. pride, But I'm not hearing economic Armageddon right now.
Right. I mean, that's always subject to change, but right now that's my view.
And I won't hold you any longer. I hope that your new baby grows up in a world where the US does not default on its debts.
I hope so.
This episode was produced by Corey Bridges with engineering by Josh Newell. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kate Concannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.